You're listening to a podcast from the Cinema Geekly Podcast Network. We're the geeks you deserve and the ones you need right now.
Welcome to Hear the Walking Dead, Cinema Geekly's all-encompassing Omnibus Walking Dead podcast. It's Anthony and Aurora, and we are back to talk more The Walking Dead : Dead City, Season 1, Episode 2, Who's There? And boy, if I knew what that title was in reference to beforehand, because now that when I watch the episode, I'm like, oh, that's what it's referring to. So there is, I had to take extensive notes, Aurora. These notes probably are not that extensive, but let's see. You can tell me how well I did here.
Sure.
So Negan and Maggie follow the older woman away from the walkers with the help of zip lines. Her name is Esther, and she takes them to her group, but they don't buy Maggie's story about who they are or why they are there. You know, Maggie...
I didn't buy it either.
No. Well, I mean, come on. We're going to Canada? Give me a break. She should have just said, like, a crazy man kidnapped my son and we're trying to find him.
Yeah.
Like, they would have been like, oh, totally. Happens all the time in New York.
Yes. Yeah, makes sense.
The girl... Is her name Ginny, the girl?
Oh, I don't remember.
Let's go with Ginny for now. She's in Hilltop in Herschel's old room, where we get a flashback of Maggie and Herschel, who kind of does not really seem into the whole survival horror thing. She's just like, you got to train. You got to go out
teenagers.
Yes. She's like, what happens like if you're not ready? And he's like, guess I'm going to die. Like, that's his. I'm like, Jesus, teenagers don't change.
That's such a teenager thing to say.
Even in the zombie apocalypse, I'm like, good Lord. Nothing stops this.
I'm not looking forward to that.
And we also hear Negan give his backstory on the Croat. He was a super crazy guy who was even too super crazy for Negan and tried to get rid of him. He ended up shooting only his ear off and he escaped. You never really saw him again. But even by Negan standards, this guy is crazy. Although, I don't know. I haven't seen the Croat do anything like what Negan does later. So we'll
just... Exactly.
the ranger, whose name escapes me at the moment, he escapes the warehouse as well and finds his brother's apartment. Unfortunately for him, his brother is long dead after having taken his own life. He covers his body, places a rosary on it, takes the gun with a few rounds left in it, and heads back out into the city. But just as he is trying to escape, he gets caught in one of those elevated, like, snare trap things. I don't know. One of those things that Han Solo and Chewie got caught in Return of the Jedi.
I was going to say it was a cartoon trap.
Yeah, it's basically one of those cartoon traps. Yeah. So he is captured there. Bad guys show up to Esther's place, which Maggie... theorizes maybe these are the Croats guys, and I think that they are in fact the Croats guys. They show up to Esther's place, and then I write here, Aurora, but Negan and Maggie them.
Yes.
Which is to say they kill people. However, one of them kills Esther in the process. Megan, that's their ship name, Megan. Megan doesn't kill Esther, it's one of the Croats guys. So Negan grabs this poor unfortunate soul and takes him alive back to the base that they came from. And then I wrote here, Negan takes Esther's killer back to their base and goes full Negan on him. Which shocks and scares
me. I would say full old Negan.
Oh, yeah. This is definitely Savior Negan.
Yes.
He is slamming his head through glass-plated windows, asking or saying knock-knock. Mm-hmm. And then when they don't, like, who's there him back. He gets mad, but not before noticing that one of these guys has like a horrible beard or something and like a rat tail.
A beard.
Yeah. And he's like, quit. Yeah. He's like, he's like, cover yourself up before you distract us all or whatever. cover that shit up. Anyway, he goes back to his knock-knock
which
joke.
I mean, honestly, I think it's the worst thing that can happen. Like, if you yeah. have someone that's threatening your life, and on top of that, they make fun of you, yeah. that sucks.
Yeah. It was very Negan-esque. And he goes on to tell one of the worst knock-knock jokes in history, which is knock-knock, yep. who's yep. there? Butter, butter who? Better bring your umbrella, because you're about to get rained on. And he slits this guy's throat and blood is spraying everywhere onto these guys and then also disembowels him. And there's more stuff going everywhere. And then he chucks the guy over top of this railing down on top of the Croats people. And he turns around and Maggie is like shocked and scared. And mm-hmm. you can see a look of instant regret on Negan's face as well. Like that person is still in there.
I feel like it was more like he was embarrassed that she saw that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. yeah. Like, well, and I also got the sense that he felt bad that she was scared by it.
Right.
Because
right.
it's, we've seen already in the season, she still has like PTSD flashbacks to when Glenn was killed. Mm-hmm. And like that person is still inside of him and yeah. it can come out when he wants to. But you know, he brought it out here because they just killed that poor old lady. And he's like, now it's becoming personal for him, too. So, yeah. Near the end of the episode, our ranger friend gets cut down from his cartoon trap. And it is the Croat that finds him. Apparently, it was his trap, I'm guessing. So, Aurora, thoughts on episode 2?
Honestly, I could only talk about that Negan scene. That was
That was really insane. Great.
It was so amazing.
It was so ridiculous, but also, yes, great.
And it honestly took me by surprise because we've had seasons of Negan just evolving as a character and, you know, kind of like we feel bad for him and we sympathize with him and he's mm-hmm. trying to make amends and, you know, he's married and he has that kid, I think, I hope.
Presumably.
So, you know, to see him go back to that early character was a shock to mm-hmm. me. And I wonder what triggered him. I know that they killed this old lady. But he's seen people get killed before.
Plenty.
So something triggered him to mm-hmm. go back to that. And I don't know if it's because he's dealing with people that work for the Croat. And mm-hmm. that's triggering that side of him.
Yeah.
But that was...
Or
that
he
was
feels rough. Responsible in a way for this.
Yeah. Yeah. It could be.
Because this is a guy that he probably should have stopped, but didn't.
True. True. Yeah. 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 I did like, so before all this happens, there's a scene where, Esther steals Maggie's bag mm-hmm. and they're running after her and she goes up this elevator and they decide to go after her and Negan turns to Maggie and he's like, it's all fun with you, huh? Just hanging out with you. It's always fun.
Never ends. Just a nonstop roller coaster of joy.
I love that Maggie. I think that this show works, at least for me, because their dynamic is so funny to me.
Mm-hmm.
She's always so like annoyed by him. Yeah. And he just, you know, just keeps annoying her more.
Yeah, because he's kind of trolling her. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. I love that dynamic.
Yeah. He also kind of dropped a Neganism as well when he's like, don't look down or you're going to end up tossing your cookies.
Yes.
Which I'm like, I've never heard anyone's like feel like they're going to throw up and be like, hold on, I'm going to go toss cookies. But I hope people say that from now on because I like how that sounds way better than I'm going to throw up or I'm going to barf. Yeah, like, yeah. Oh, I feel like I'm going to toss cookies, BRB. That actually sounds almost wholesome. Weird coming from Negan, of all people.
He says some things sometimes that I'm like, was that like scripted or is that improvising? Like, it's improvising because it's just the lines are just insane. What he says.
So we get to see them use the zip lines in this, but mm-hmm. Esther's group, they have grappling guns, which they used as weapons.
Yes.
Whoa. Yeah. So like they shoot one of these guys with a grappling gun, it goes into their shoulder and then they retract it and it just rips out like a chunk of them. Right. Like, oh, gross.
Yep.
But cool. Gross, but cool. I like that they're kind of introducing some of these new elements or whatever, just tiny little things like you would need, it makes sense that you would need to develop ways of, in a city that is so vertical, it makes sense that you would need mm-hmm. ways to traverse upward without much power or being able to get up the side of a building when you can't get into a building, that sort of thing. It makes sense that they would have to start developing ways to traverse. Like, the zip lines make perfect sense.
Yeah, because honestly, I mean, they make sense, but I'm also surprised every time these two episodes.
Yeah.
I've been surprised that there's people even living in New York during the zombie apocalypse. I would think that would be the first place that everybody's out.
Yeah, I do love they had, like, Maggie got distracted when she was about to do her zipline thing, so she didn't push off as hard, and she's sort of dangling there above, and they do this great, like, top-down view, and it's like the streets are constantly filled with walkers, mm-hmm. and it's always horrifying, except, of course, you know, where our ranger friend, he gets down on the street, and there's, like, nobody anywhere. It's completely empty, but I guess certain areas are better than others, but still, just cool visuals. The show continues to be fun. I don't know if it's not like breaking any ground or anything, but two episodes in and it's been fun, I think.
Yeah. I mean, it's definitely both of these characters have such, even though one of them hates the other one.
Yeah.
Because I don't think that Negan hates Maggie. He's actually admires her. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. I think her strength.
But they have such a complicated relationship, but even though they have a complicated relationship, they have such good chemistry.
Yeah. You know what's weird, though, Aurora, is in the waning seasons of The Walking Dead, we were here talking about, like, you were just counting down the episodes to when they're going to kiss.
Yes.
And it feels like that element of their relationship is completely gone to me. Do you get that same vibe, or do you think it's still there?
No, I think it's gone.
Yeah. Okay. I feel like... I wonder if some of it is like... I mean, obviously they listen to our podcast, but I'm just saying, like, I wonder if they picked up on... Because that talk was going around, right? And I wonder mm-hmm. if maybe those vibes they're giving off on The Walking Dead were unintentional vibes, and they're like, oh, wait, no, that's not what we're trying to do at all. Like, maybe we need to completely steer away from all of this stuff. Yeah. I'm wondering.
I still think that if Maggie went for it, Negan would go for it.
Oh, yeah. 1,000,000,000% he would, for sure. I just don't think it's the other way. I don't think it's like Negan's going to charm Maggie. I feel like it would have to be like a complete change of heart for her.
Right.
But like 1,000,000,000% Negan would be all for it. Yes. That's just Negan. That's how he Negans his way through the universe. Mm-hmm. Any final thoughts on episode 2, and what would you give Who's There? Mm-hmm.
Like I said, I still like this show. I'm excited about it. It's been a couple of seasons from the other shows that I've been kind of like, eh. So I'm excited for something in the Walking Dead universe that I'm like, okay, this is cool. I gave this episode a 4.
Okay. I liked the flashbacks a little bit. Like, we get to see, mm-hmm. we almost never get to see Maggie being a mom. Right. So I enjoyed that. Also, I really liked the way that they went to the flashback. I thought that was really clever editing. That was cool. So I approve of that. And, I did, even though there wasn't a lot going there, I feel like the scene in, Joe's apartment, like the Ranger's brother, like, I feel like that gives some insight into who he is, which I also think, I feel deserves some, like, set design credit and a few other things. Because I feel like they were telling, like, they were giving you elements of a story without any dialogue, without any back and forth or any flashbacks. Like, it looked like, based off of some things laying around, it looked like his brother maybe had a drug problem at one point. They were showing these pictures of him and his brother together, him and his family together. You know, the rosary suggests religious, like a very religious family, things like that. Even the box, like he knew where to look for this box that had a gun in it. And it's the kind with, like, you know, only four bullets and it's like a red velvety inside case. It almost feels like it was a gift or something. Like, I got all sorts of hints, with just like physical prop and set design storytelling, like elemental storytelling, which I think is really cool. I don't see that a ton in shows, and I sort of feel like I have a better idea about who this person is a little bit. Like, not a great deal, but like I learned something about who he was or where he came from or what his life was maybe like before all of this. And I really enjoyed that stuff too. This was a solid 4 for me. I thought this was a good episode. I am still not super interested in the Croat. We
haven't seen enough. We haven't seen enough of what he can do.
Yeah, I'm just not invested. Still far more interested in the, like, how life in the city works. Like, that's far more interesting to me and seeing that. And, you know, the character dynamics, obviously, between our two mains. I think that's really, like, obviously that's the main draw. But the bad guy is not wowing me still. So 2 episodes in, he's going to have to work a little bit harder to make me feel like there is
anything here. He needs to be a little bit more evil.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like something has to happen here to make it feel like there's real stakes. Cause right now it just feels like it's going to take him a while to find Herschel, but they're going to find him and they're going to beat the bad guys and they're going to get Herschel and they're going to go. Like,
yeah. And, so, and right now what the one person we've seen that's done something horrible is Negan.
Yes. Yeah.
So he needs to do something worse than what Negan did.
Yeah, and good luck.
Because
Negan was all super creepy about this.
Right.
He almost took a delight in it. And by the way, I want to take another a second to note that I really love, I should have taken it as a hint, but that shot, like right before this all happens, where it's like pitch black and like Negan emerges from the blackness.
Oh yeah. It was quick, but it was cool.
It was quick, but it also felt like a telegraph of like, this is old Negan coming out to play for a minute. And, I thought that was a great scene. So, anyway, super happy with it. Excited for next week. But it's going to be a week till we get there. So in the meantime, everybody head on over to cinemageekly.com where you can check out the archives of the show. This is a listener-supported podcast along with all of our others, and there are ways to help out if you so choose. If you like what you hear, head on over to patreon.com/cinemageekly or geeklymerch.com is our merch store. Pick up something there. Either of those things will help us out. Links for those are in the show notes. Of course, you can also find us on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, and Audible. Just search for Hear the Walking Dead. Hit subscribe, and that way you can join us next time to hear us talk more about The Walking Dead, Dead City, Season 1, Episode 3, called People Are a Resource.